Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's talk about this matchup in greater detail. Joining me now, my co-host on Sports Talk Mississippi, one of the voices of college basketball on the SEC Network, and noted scalawag, Richard Cross is here with us. Richard, this Ole Miss team, I mean, you bring in a coach like Chris Beard, you know they're going to be better than they were a season ago. The guy's a top-tier coach in college basketball. They bring in some talent. But nobody, even the most red and blue glasses wearing Ole Miss fan, couldn't have predicted they would be as good as they've been thus far this year. How much of that is just what Beard has brought to this program, and how much of that is, now they've got some talented players that maybe we don't talk enough about?
I think a combination of the two. I think the fact that they've been good in game-ending situations, if you go back to the non-conference and you think about some of the close wins they had early. Sorry, my voice is still not all the way back. I'm trying.
The hero, folks.
You know, some of the close wins that they had in the non-conference, even at home where they weren't playing particularly well, but they found ways to win. I think that points to coaching and being ready for tight late-game situations. You know, in league play, they've been really good at home, but the win at Texas A&M on Saturday night was huge. They were down, what? Maybe if not double digits, really close to it, 7, 8, 9 in the first half. They close the half on, I think, an 11-0 run. They get the big shot from Morrell right before halftime to actually take a lead into the locker room after not playing particularly well, but kind of rebounding well enough to stay in it. And then they push that lead out to double digits early in the second half. Texas A&M makes a run, as you expect a team to do at home. They kind of withstood that run, found themselves down 6 or 7, you know, in the last 6, 7 minutes of the game, and then they get the really big shot. So the end-of-game situations, I think, point to Chris Beard. But, yeah, playmakers as well. And, you know, it's funny, Jane and I were actually talking about this during the game the other night. Ole Miss is a pretty experienced basketball team. And it's a combination of experience at Ole Miss and experience from guys that came in. So Juju Murray, who hits the big shot at the end, he was on that St. Peter's team that made the run in the NCAA tournament. Cisse's been around different programs and has been an impact player. And then you take the Ole Miss guys, you know, Jamin Brakefield, who's in his fourth year at Ole Miss, Matt Morrell, who's in his fourth year at Ole Miss. These guys have seen a lot, and they've lost a lot, but they've seen a lot of situations. And so being old and being experienced, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, these are two of the most experienced teams in the SEC going at it Tuesday night. This is an Ole Miss team. I don't want to say lives and dies by the three, but they shoot the three ball really, really well, 38%. And it's an interesting matchup because State is one of the best perimeter defending teams in the country, only giving up 28% from behind the line. Is it just going to come down to that for Ole Miss? If State can neutralize their ability to shoot threes, can the Rebels still win?
I mean, I don't think Ole Miss can shoot 26% from three and win the game. I don't know that they've got to shoot 40%, but, you know, somewhere in that range. They've got to be efficient. They've got to have efficiency on the offensive end. And I think largely they've done that. And, you know, you've got so many teams. You think about Alabama and the style that they play and Florida and the style that they play, where it's three or get to the rack. And that's not really what Ole Miss does. There is a mid-range game there. You've seen it with Morrell. You've seen it with Brakefield. You've seen it with Al Flanagan. I mean, Ole Miss shoots a lot of 15-foot jump shots, and they make those at a pretty high clip. So it's efficiency on the offensive end. And obviously, hey, that an area that Mississippi State has had issues this year has been at the free throw line. Ole Miss has been really, really good at the free throw line when it counts, especially going back to Saturday night at A&M. They hit 6 huge ones in a row in the final minute of the game to allow them to escape with that win. So I don't know that it's necessarily live or die by the three, but they can't have a night where they go 3 for 26 and expect to win either.
On the other side of that, Ole Miss is a team that, you know, they have a lot of size. They have some length, and that can bother Tolu Smith. You called the State-Auburn game. I thought Auburn did a really good job of covering up Tolu, and it was State's role players who had to step forward and help State in that basketball game. Ole Miss defensively, do you feel like that they match up well with what State wants to do offensively?
Yeah, you know, my initial thought prior to what you just referenced on Saturday with Auburn is no, I don't think it's a great matchup because I think that the strength and the girth of Tolu Smith in the post is just a problem. But Ole Miss has faced some big guys down low, some thicker guys, and they've defended them pretty well. And then so in State's game against Auburn, Dylan Cardwell got into foul trouble and was a non-factor. And he was the guy that I thought might really bang down low with Tolu Smith in that ball game. And so it was left to Jahni Broome, who he's thicker than Cisse. He's thicker than Sharp for Ole Miss. But he's not that prototypical. I mean, he'll stretch his post game out to 15 feet and kind of work his way down. It's not just he camps out 8 feet from the basket and can't do anything else. So I think there's some similarities in terms of shot blocking ability and athleticism with Musa Cisse and Jamarian Sharp that maybe is a little similar to what Auburn had with Cardwell not in the game. But I still think Tolu Smith is a really important player. And I know he was just shy of a double-double on Saturday, but I thought he was a little less effective on Saturday than he has been in some recent games.
Agreed. Yeah, he didn't take a lot of shots. I mean, there's just no getting around that. But I think part of that was what Auburn did. But part of it was, you know, State had some other guys hitting, and maybe he did play facilitator a little bit more. He had a few assists.
I'll tell you, I think it's huge for Mississippi State and played maybe his best game of the season on Saturday against Auburn's Cam Matthews.
Yeah.
So athletic. That matchup at the four with Matthews and Jamin Brakefield, that one could be a really fun one to watch.
So every year in this game, at least once, one Ole Miss player has an incredible game. Brian Tyree, Stephon Moody, a couple years ago was Morrell. He had 30 points against Mississippi State. Who's it going to be this
year? Blake Henson.
Blake Henson. We were talking about him earlier this morning. Yeah, it's just every year that somebody comes out and has a career game in this for Ole Miss. Who's it going to be this year?
Yeah, my first go-to would be Jamin Brakefield. But I kind of go back to what we were saying just a second ago. I think Cam Matthews is playing at a high level. And so I don't think he shuts Brakefield down, but I think maybe neutralizes him. So instead of a night where he goes for 24 and 8, it could be like an 11 and 6 night for Jamin Brakefield. I think Morrell's a possibility. He did not play particularly well on the road against Texas A&M. He shoots it really well in the pavilion. But it's also kind of hard to pick against Jamal or Jalen Murray right now, Juju Murray, who's playing with a lot of confidence. He's not big. As much as I love Josh Hubbard, I'm not sure that he's quite there defensively yet. And so I'm not sure that he's going to lock Murray down from a defensive standpoint, might have some open looks. So I don't know. That actually is really something interesting to watch.
Speaking of Hubbard, obviously we all know the story. Signed with Ole Miss out of high school, and then when Kermit Davis was fired, he opens up his recruitment again, ends up at Mississippi State. What kind of reception should he expect tomorrow night in the pavilion?
I mean, I don't think it'll be he's not going to get the Bart Heights treatment. I mean, he's not going to get the Shane Power treatment. I've always said, like, the good white player on the visiting team is the biggest target for every student section ever.
It's true.
Go back to Jay Will at Florida or whoever you want to pick. Todd Abernathy when he was at Ole Miss, Michael White, Keith Carter. Those guys got hammered.
I'd say your athletic director over there would definitely probably agree with you on this.
Yeah, he certainly would qualify. I don't think he gets that kind of treatment. I think there is the Ole Miss fans that have paid attention would tell you, man, I really wish he was wearing red and blue instead of maroon and white.
Yeah.
I think there's a healthy level of respect. You know, the interesting thing about that is, and I've talked to Ole Miss people and to Mississippi State assistant coaches as well, and even Chris Jans himself, nobody expected Hubbard to be what he's been. They knew he was good. They knew he could score. I asked Chris Jans before the Vanderbilt game. I was like, hey, are you worried at all about him hitting the freshman wall? Out of gas. He goes, I'm really not. And he said it's because of his maturity. And he said, you know, there's on-the-floor maturity, which he's got and plays with a high level of. He said, but it's the off-the-court stuff, too. He really takes care of his body. He eats well. He's a hard worker in the gym. He's always on time. He's conscientious. All the things that you would expect a second- or third-year player to be, he is in his first year. And he said, I think that allows him to kind of avoid that. And we saw it on Saturday, obviously, in Starkville.
Jan says the same things about me. Takes care of my body. you know, eats well, things like that.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, maybe not the old you, but the new you, of course. Yeah,
there you go. But the environment overall, you expect a really big crowd for this one, right?
Yeah, last thing I saw, there were a couple hundred tickets remaining. Ole Miss has got back-to-back home games this week, Tuesday night against Mississippi State, Saturday against Auburn. I think collectively it'll be the best two-game stretch of home atmosphere since the pavilion has opened. And it's set up because Ole Miss gets that road win. In-state rivalry game and all those things, but it's more about a really big opportunity for a team that a year ago right now was completely dead. There was no energy, no emotion, no enthusiasm, and now you've got a team that is legitimately in the NCAA tournament conversation.
Yeah, it's been a long time since this game had any real meaning. I think you got to go back to, you know, Kermit Davis's first year in Oxford when both teams made the NCAA tournament, which is the last time both teams made the NCAA tournament. So 7:30 tip.
And that year, both teams won on the road.
That's correct. That's correct. So we'll see if that means anything for tomorrow's matchup. Also huge for you and I as the winner of this one. It breaks the tie for us now, and one of us will be one up in our bet against each other, see who has to look like an idiot at the Palmer Home Radiothon.
Our bet that actually has no stakes, we're just kind of making up as we go along, right?
No, it is. We know what it is.
We just decided to run it back.
Yeah, we ran it back. So there you go. All right. We will talk a lot more about this game for the next 2 days on Sports Talk Mississippi. So if you missed that, it's always available on the podcast form. Richard Cross, my good friend, thanks for joining me, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chief. Thanks, pal.
You got it, boss.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.